Well, more than 100 days since the start of the war in the Middle East, US President Donald Trump says that a preliminary deal with Iran has been signed, but the key issues around Iran's nuclear program and the potential lifting of sanctions remain unresolved. According to Pakistani officials who've been mediating the peace talks, the memorandum of understanding starts with the lifting of Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz and the US counter-blockade of Iran's ports. Katie Balls is the Washington editor for The Times in the UK and joins me now. Katie, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you.
When we look at the domestic politics of all this in the United States, how much was the clock ticking for Donald Trump here?
Well, we know that the president was under pressure to get a deal and to bring the war to an end. Now, of course, the president publicly would say that he felt no such pressure. He was not going to let the prospect of the midterms, so when lots of senators and congressmen go up for their seats, come into play. And he was also not going to let the economy be what decided whether Iran had a nuclear weapon. But if you cut through the noise, this is ultimately a president who has had issues when it comes to keeping the base behind him in this war, and issues when it comes to voters. And that is something we've kept seeing. So this is one of the things where I think there was a lot of domestic pressure for him to do a deal.
Katie, that might be the Secret Service at your door now. Do you need to grab
No, it's fine.
You're all good.
Yeah.
Katie, we know that President Donald Trump is literate in the art of television. So we had these visuals of his 80th birthday with this cage fight on the front lawns of the White House, and now electronically at least this preliminary agreement signed. What sort of message is he trying to send to US voters?
I think he's trying to send a message of strength. And of course, it was his 80th birthday on Sunday. And you had a situation whereby that fight was him almost trying to say, you know, yes, I might be the second president to turn 80 in office, but look, I'm going to try and project strength. However, I think that he has found out through the course of this war that the American people's taste or appetite for combat when it comes to conflicts, also perhaps when it comes to things on the White House lawn, are less than what he has. And that is another reason why this has just come round back into a situation whereby I think that, you know, we just did have the sense that Donald Trump did not think, and he said this in an interview last week, he did not feel that America had the stomach for the war in the way that perhaps he had the stomach for escalation. And I think that has weighed on him, and is why we're now in this scenario.
Are some in Congress wondering what this was all about, and more broadly in the public? Because speaking to analysts, even with this initial preliminary deal, as best we understand it, the situation is no better off than it was before the war.
I think this is the big question. And of course, what is tricky in the current situation is we don't currently have all the details of the deal. We have various briefings coming from the Trump administration. We have officials telling us things are in their red lines. You have Iranians saying different things. So in truth, we can't fully judge what deal he has made yet until we see what's in the writing and how it plays out in the coming weeks. However, what we do know is we have a situation whereby the president has come around to the negotiating table, and lots of voters are going to ask, is the US in a stronger position when it comes to Iran than before the conflict? And if the answer is no, then people ask what the point is. And that's why I think that the deal has to be more than just reopening a shipping lane that was operating normally before the conflict started.
We know that now that the United States has more of its own domestic oil supply, has that softened some of the economic blow in the United States, or was the clock ticking economically as well to get some sort of resolution here?
I think it's softened it to a degree in the sense that you see there were elements, you know, parts of America that benefited because, you know, America is more resilient than, say, lots of European countries on this. But that hasn't been the over
overwhelming narrative here. Instead, the narrative among American voters is the price of gas is up. And that is something that they're very aware of every day. So even though I think lots of Americans are slightly tuned out of the day-to-day mechanics of the war, you know, in the first days, you know, wondering what was happening militarily all the time, these briefings from Pete Hegseth of the Secretary of State for War, they, you know, that became less of a thing. But the thing that no one could ignore was the fact it was the fact it was exacerbating cost of living. At a time when the White House, ahead of the midterms, wanted to be able to say the economy has turned a corner. So I think that the main takeaway, if you're going to ask your average American, is that this war has been bad for cost of living and undermined the White House's message.
Where are things sitting with Congress now? There's nervousness for some around the midterms. Congress had been flexing when it comes to its war powers. How do you see the relationship between Congress and the White House now, Katie?
Yeah, I think here we've got a few different things going on. So you have Democrats are very keen to say this deal is effectively garbage. It's worse than the Obama-Iran deal. And I think that's going to be a key marker. You have Republicans overwhelmingly nervous about the midterms and fearing the Iran war was making it much worse. The feeling being if there was a deal, many think that actually the price of gas will fall to enough of a degree that it will perhaps not mean that the, you know, the Republicans retain the House, but it is going to reduce the bloodletting. And then I think you have the more hawkish members of Congress, so various Republican lawmakers, who are nervous about this deal because they worry that it could be something that is bad for America in the long term, even if it helps in the short term on the economy. And therefore, you're seeing, for example, Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator who's close to Donald Trump, being quite careful in what he says, saying he welcomes it broadly, but is a bit nervous that the Iranians are saying X and Americans are saying Y, and also saying, and I know it was J.D. Vance who negotiated this deal, and I think in D.C., lots of people think that's an interesting way for him to phrase it, because Lindsey Graham will not want to insult Donald Trump, but he probably, you know, are we going to have a situation where those more hawkish members of the Republican Party start to blame figures like J.D. Vance or Steve Witkoff if they don't like this deal?
Katie Balls, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your analysis this morning.
Thanks. Thank you.